morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, March 20th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we are on page 68, the third full paragraph. That begins with, we never apologize to anyone for depending on our Creator, ending with, at once we commence to outgrow fear. We are reading one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Reggie O., who will be reading the text, Lois P., reading page 164, and Eileen M. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and announcements will be Betsy H. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, March 19th, 2023, the Sunday special edition, is 20,067, that's 20067. And the reference ID for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,068, 20068. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Bonnie B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. My pleasure. Bonnie B., recovered in the state of Minnesota for today. Here are the steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. And it sounds like someone is not muted. If you could please hit star one to mute your phone, everyone but the person speaking. Thank you so much. And I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service today. And welcome to the world on the line. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and any other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these principles, or all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me do service. Have a great meeting. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then please press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 68. We're going to be reading the third full paragraph, which begins with, "We never apologize to anyone for depending on our Creator," and ends with, "At once we commence to outgrow fear." We're reading one paragraph only this morning. And I will now ask Reggie O. to begin reading.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered, living outside San Antonio, Texas. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. Wow. Fear comes from this fear inventory, which we're doing in step 4 after having done the resentment inventory. And it also comes after steps 1, 2, and 3, you know, which I'm powerless over food, have to find a power greater than myself if I'm to do anything well, and then coming to find a power that I can turn everything over to. And I've learned since being in this program that the thing that actually held me back the most, I used to think as a, you know, a young person, child, young adult, that I had no fear. And there were a lot of things that I didn't have fear over. But what I learned once I came into program is that fear ran my life. Fear ran my life, what people would think of me, what I could do, what I couldn't do. It caused me to do a lot of hiding, a lot of not being really, truly, authentically who I was, because I felt I had this image that I had to uphold. And then I got here and, you know, and I began finding what my God was, the God of my understanding to me was. And I had to find a pretty powerful one. And I have found that one. And, you know, I have done the steps, obviously, and I've done them many times. And I do a 10th step every day with my 10th step buddy, and it's just going through step four, but on a regular basis as something shows up. And something always shows up for me, and oftentimes there's always a fear related to it. And so I do the fear prayer, this fear prayer: God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And added, as I heard someone say at a meeting once, or what would you say to me? And I've gone through the resentments and, you know, what was my part, my character defects. And then I get to this fear, and it's always rooted in that first question we ask in the fear inventory is, was I trusting and relying on my infinite self, or was I trusting and relying on finite God? And so I know that's what I do when I do the fear prayer. I ask God to remove the fear, turn my attention to what God would have me be, or what would you say to me, God? And you know, it is absolutely amazing. I have the most amazing conversations with God in the prayer when I'm doing the fear inventory than I ever have. Because, and there's hardly a time since I've been doing a regular daily 10th step with my 10th step buddy, there is hardly ever a time, and I don't even know if I could remember one time where God has not spoken to me, literally spoken to me, and let me know that I am God's totally with me, and that as long as I trust and rely on God, and God makes that very well known that I can do that when I do a 10th step fear inventory and do the prayer, that I'm not in this alone, and so I send God ahead and can leave the inventory with trust. Thank you. And it's my way of keeping the channel to God, which lies deep within me, clear. So thank you for allowing me to do this service this morning, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Rizzio. Thank you so much for getting us started. Although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any vision meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern or the 10 a.m., please let others share their experience, strength, and hope today. So I'm going to get a lineup. If you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, that would be great. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Bruce E., Florida.
Got you, Bruce.
Eileen M.
I got you, Eileen M.
Annette M. from Toronto, Canada.
Annette,
Tom
I believe,
L.
N. Annette? From Toronto?
M, as in marvelous.
Oh, and you are marvelous. Okay. I heard Tom L. I know that guy. And we can take some more. We can take a couple more.
Kathleen O, California.
Hey, Kathleen O from California. Anyone else like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Carol W, Alaska.
Babylonia.
Okay, I got you, Babylonia.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good starting lineup. So I've got Bruce E. from Florida, Eileen M., Annette M. From Toronto, Tom L. from California, Kathleen O. from California, Carol W. from Alaska and Babylonia. And if you could please let us know where you're calling from, we'll start with Bruce E. and then Eileen M.
Hi, it's Bruce E. I'm recovered compulsive overeater in Florida, down in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area. Let's see. Well, appreciate the reading and the opening share. I didn't think I was fearful most of my life up until about age 40 or so. I thought I was not a fearful person. And I wasn't really, I didn't really show that outwardly, but I was using the addiction thoroughly, you know, so I was worshiping, you know, the substances. So, you know, then I get abstinent, and then all these fears start coming out all over the place. So that's when this fear prayer comes in. God, please remove my fear, direct my attention to what you'd have me be. And God always tells me what he would have me be, usually, you know. And different things come up. Be grateful. Today, yeah, more be grateful and focus on gratitude. Let go of the self-pity. Had some of that coming up earlier. So this fear item is now something that I've been working on for quite a few years. And man, it does come up now. I mean, it does. Something doesn't go my way or something happens or something, I'm not going to get something I think I should get. And this fear comes up big time. And then I have to do a 10-step. So, and a lot of times resentment comes up with it. So 10-step works great. But 10-step will work great just on fear. And so I do that. It does take the fear away. It really does. It's amazing how quickly the fear can go away when I do this prayer, 10-step prayers. And just ask God to remove it. It's amazing. Program really does work. I appreciate the shares that I've been hearing on fear, too, that I know I'm not alone on this thing. I know I have a problem with this, but I know there's a solution, and that's in these steps. I'm praying now. I'm usually praying with my wife every day. That's good. And praying by myself, doing the third step prayer, seventh step prayer, and reading some literature, talking to my sponsor, talking to other people. Thank you. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida, and you are not alone. Next up, we've got Eileen M., and then followed by Annette M.
Good morning. It's Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater, and I am in New Hampshire. And, you know, when I think about when fear comes up, you know, this is step four, so I have to go back to step three and say, okay, well, what is step three? So I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And what does that mean? You know, that means that I, you know, I'm trusting God to take my life and my will. And, you know, it's also like saying to God, hey, you know, I don't have all the answers, right? I can't fix things. And, you know, for me, fear is like an obsession. You know, it just kind of takes over my mind because my mind keeps going over and over, like what might happen, you know, and I become focused on that, and I get so focused on it that I can't hear the directions that I'm getting. You know, I know that, like, when I did my inventory originally, you know, I could see that all of my decisions in the past were based on fear. They were all driven by fear. I mean, it just ran my whole life. And, you know, it's kind of like, I think of this as this prayer is almost like saying, God's like saying to me, hey, Eileen, don't worry. I've got this. You know, I've got you. And it's just, you know, having that trust and that faith that, you know, I'm going to be taken care of no matter what happens. And I love it. I love how it says, you know, we let God demonstrate what he can do. You know, and I've come to see that God does for me what I can't do for myself, you know. I just love this because now I have a way to deal with fear. I don't have to live with that obsession. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M. From New Hampshire. Next up, Annette M., followed by Tom L.
Hi, it's Annette M. from Toronto, Canada, gratefully recovered. You know, wow, what a great paragraph. You know, I've come back from a two-week holiday in Israel, and, you know, it's amazing. Like, things went really beautifully. You know, I'm grateful I'm back. And, you know, but I notice how fear has crept in. Like, hello, it's like, you know, that new friend, another friend, and then the Rumi's prayer comes to my mind, if you all know that. But anyways, I just, you know, I'm so grateful that I realize I have a solution and that I'm not in charge. And when I'm in fear and I, you know, all of a sudden I come back from something so exciting, I want to figure out, what's my life's purpose? What's this? What's this? I'm not doing enough. My brain just went all of a sudden, like my circuit just went out. And I'm just so grateful. Here I am on the 10 o'clock call. I have COVID. I came back. I also have COVID. So, you know, it's like I get to reach out to program and to God and to get closer and to have the time to be with them. And, you know, and God, what I always know that what God wants for me is to know that he is holding me. I'm never alone. And I, you know, that's ultimate, my fear is that I'm alone and I'm never alone. And when I tap into God and I ask him, who would he have me be? And he would just have me be a trusted servant of his will. And what can I do for someone else? How can I be of service? And what I'm going to do is make more outreach calls, see how I can be of service, get out of self. And then I know that everything will slowly dissolve back into a higher sense of being with God. And I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Annette M. from Toronto. Tom L., you're next, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tom L. I'm from Southern California. I'm not compulsive overeating today, nor have I for 20 months. I am a frightened person. This, you know, resentment, I do have my resentments. And when I went through that that section, I wrote down, I don't know, about 100 people. And many of the people, by the way, were imaginary. Or they were famous people who I have no contact with, but I resented them anyway because I like living in fantasy. But the trouble with that is I've been suffocated by fears since I was a little kid, and I also sought refuge from that fear by isolation. So I remember I would eat alcoholic foods, I would hole up in bed. And I would get relief from my fears and my hurts, and that started very young, and that continued getting worse because with our disease it takes more to get the same effect. And by the time I was in my 30s, I was living, you know, completely isolated life, terrified of anybody coming to the door, even footsteps, and I had to eat more to kill that feeling. In recovery, of course, you have to go through the terror of becoming sober with food. That is not a highly unnatural state for someone like me. And I did not say this prayer for a while. What I did was I went to meetings. I found a sponsor and I talked to people, all kinds of crazy guys who were maybe not as terrified as I was, but some were as isolated as I was, and they had found this lifeboat. But this prayer, I have a big problem, as I always mentioned, with what is the higher power? Who am I talking to? Who's out there? It doesn't matter. The big book doesn't say you have to believe in a higher power. It says you have to pray this prayer. And I usually prayed it by calling other people and saying, I'm terrified of, you know, the DMV. I'm terrified of going to work today. I'm terrified of, you know, what my dad's going to die. I'm terrified. That was a kind of prayer because I was reaching outside myself. And then I found you don't have to have someone there. I mean, it's good to include someone else in the prayer, but the prayer by itself brings peace. And if I was drunk on food, I wouldn't notice it. You know, Ebby told Bill, you know, why don't you choose your own conception of your higher power? You don't have to have mine. And that frees me to say this prayer with feeling and with the hope that it'll actually work. So anyway, thank you for recovery and thanks for listening this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Tom L. And before we take Kathleen, I'd like to, if you've just joined us, I'd like to let you know where we are. We're on page 68. We read the third full paragraph, beginning with, we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. And we just read that one paragraph. So we're going to take Kathleen O, followed by Carol W.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O in Northern California. And we never apologize to anyone for depending on our Creator. And maybe I'm taking the sentence too literally, but it's an interesting sentence for me because I've never felt the need to apologize for trusting and depending on my higher power. And maybe this is because I don't say things to people like, well, I don't do this or I'm going to do such and such because God told me. I don't know. It's just never come up for me. So it's an interesting sentence for me. And more interesting is the next sentence. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. And hopefully this isn't literally meaning, you know, laughing at those people, more of just letting go. Because I've met people who think spirituality is weakness. And if that's someone's opinion, I respect it. You know, it's perfectly fine if others don't think like me. And I don't argue with them. You know, there's no point in that. So the point is to let me know I believe in these sentences. And it's saying that the spiritual way is the way of strength. So, you know, I made a decision to trust my higher power with every aspect of my life. So what other people think, it's truly none of my business. You know, I don't need to defend my beliefs, you know, nor does anyone else. And fear, the wonderful word fear that crops up all the time. And we, you know, go through this in the fourth step. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be at once we commence to outgrow fear. And outgrowing fear, I don't know, it may be a lifetime journey, you know. I just need to remember that I don't have to fear anything that comes to me because I can choose to rely on my higher power. So no matter what anyone does or what situation takes place, if I keep my heart open to this power I connect to, I'm going to enjoy and embrace life. You know, I can accomplish this through willful efforts and meditation, you know, prayer and meditation, keeping close contact with my higher power. And when I allow myself to experience fear, I feel the need to protect myself, and protecting myself will never allow me to be free. So the heart, God, you know, it's a beautiful and powerful energy center, and energy flows to inspire and sustain me. You know, it carries me through life so I can live in love and not live in fear. And holding on to resentments, that just keeps me in pain and misery. You know, my resentments harm no one but myself. And the less I make others wrong, the happier I am. The less I allow fear to come into my life, the happier I am. And as Reggie and others have mentioned, the fear prayer is so powerful. I can ask God to remove my fear when it crops up. You know, take my anxiety and worries. Remind me, God, of your power and grace. Fill me with peace. I trust you and will keep my heart open to love, joy, and freedom. And, you know, today I choose happiness and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. Next up, we have Carol W., followed by Babylonia. Carol W. from Alaska, can you hit?
Hello, this is Carol W. in Alaska. This is the most meaningful paragraph I've read so far in the big book. God is everything to me. He has saved my life from the pit of despair and pain and terror. I have severe PTSD caused by several sexual assault experiences and trauma that goes as far back as 18 months old. When I first became a Christian 46 years ago, I was terrified of God. He was so scary to me. I was afraid if I bought the wrong Christian book, God would hurt me. It's hard develop a relationship with a higher power that you're afraid of. But step by step, as I work the program, as I practice my spiritual disciplines, I am learning to trust a higher power. I am learning that it's safe. It's safe to be a Christian. Not necessarily with people, because there will always be people who disagree or have different opinions. But I am safe with God. He doesn't hurt me. He helps me. And that's all I want to share. I'll pass now. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carol W. And next up, we have Babylonia.
You know, something... I need to let someone else share today, so I'll pass.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for that, Babylonia. So we'll go ahead and take some more names. We really value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So if you share it on Thursday and Friday, please let others share their experience too. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Veronica B. I'll share.
I heard, I think, Veronica B.
Yes.
Okay. And who else?
Marilee W.
Laura H. from Washington.
Laura H. from Washington. You can probably take one or two more.
Julie P. from Minnesota.
Got you, Julie P. Anyone else? All right. I've got Veronica B., Marilee W., Laura H., and Julie P. All right, Veronica, go ahead and get us started on this round.
Hey, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you for your service. I'm going to put a different twist on this. We never apologize to anyone for depending on our creator. You know, when I first read this sentence, the first thing I thought of was that coming to Overeaters Anonymous, changing my food plan, you know, changing things. I would always have, like, my family say stuff like, do you want cake? Why not? We made it for you. It's a special occasion. They would always challenge me. They would challenge me. It was almost like they would be disturbed that I was eating cleaner. It was very weird, you know, or my mom would get upset because I wouldn't eat her homemade tamales after I got abstinent, you know. And it felt like I had to defend myself for why I was living this different way of life. And it felt, I would get really irritated, I remember. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2009, and my sisters would say things like, oh, what, you're not eating sugar this week? You know, kind of giving me a hard time about it. Or I just felt, the sentence kind of means to me like I have to defend why I'm doing what I'm doing. I have to defend why I choose to forgive my sister because, you know, I can't afford to have resentment and fear or and it's in defending myself that leads me to anger and being defensive, and that leads to irritation and disturbance, you know. So that's how I interpret this. Like, I don't have to defend myself for choosing this way of life for myself. It works perfectly. And I have a God of my understanding that takes care of me, that I depend on, and therefore I don't have to go and prove anything to anybody else. Because I believe that, you know, I will lose my abstinence over defending myself, you know. Because today I stopped fighting everyone and everything, and, like, I have my partner, you know, he has a hard time understanding why I eat the way I eat, you know. There's another good example, like, I, you know, would get so frustrated trying to make him understand, you know. It's like, I don't have to do that today. I don't live like that today. I focus on, you know, showing up to my meetings, doing my prayer meditation, not let anybody get in the way, and not be afraid of, like, what others think or if they're judging me. Because that's a big one for me too, you know. I just could be my true self here, just me and God, and being in the middle of this program, which fills my heart. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica B. And if you've just joined us, we're on page 68, third paragraph, We Never Apologize. Next up, we'll have Marilee W., followed by Laura H.
Hi, my name is Marilee W., compulsive overeater from Colorado. And one day I was reading this part of the book, and it dawned on me, or hit me in the heart, that I was one of those people that I could laugh at. There were pieces of not being in fear, but there was also this deep resistance around when it says paradoxically, you know, we can laugh at those who think it's the way of weakness. And there was this deep fear in me that if I trusted something out there that I can't fully see, that I was going to be stricken down. Or also a thought process that this was a punishing God. And so there were places in my life where that just really resonated with me when I would think about patience, tolerance, love, and kindness in these places where I really felt threatened or hurt, that, you know, our program asks us to this piece of practicing patience, tolerance, love, and kindness, and there was so much fear around that, what could be called agnosticism. So in these places, I wasn't able to trust my higher power. And I started to look at these thoughts that were in my mind that just were not true, such as that this is a punishing higher power, and really starting to be aware that that was happening and that those thoughts were blocking me as much as my actions. But I love this part of the book, and what I wanted to say too is step one, that, you know, I'm powerless over food. I can't manage the decision to stay stopped. I became willing to just say the prayer without having expectations around it, without what it might look like, willing to look at the fourth step, willing to look at self-reliance. And so it's been a process of me not having to figure this out, or what will it have me be. Yes, now I can maybe get this intuitive thought or decision. But also in that 10th step, we discuss. So I don't have to figure this out. It's just we have these directions at once we commence, which means begin to outgrow fear. And in that place, it's okay to be in a place of not trusting and just be willing to move forward in the directions. And for that, I am grateful. And one of my deepest fears is that I'm all alone in this world, especially in relationship with other people. Today, I can, maybe I'm not going to get that connection from the people I want in my life, but what's the beginning of starting to be aware that it's all around me, that connection, I'm not alone. And it's just in this place of where my higher power, it's more beautiful than I could have ever imagined. So that's what I have.
Thank you so much, Marilee W. from Colorado. And Laura H., you're next, followed by Julie P.
Good morning. This is Laura H., recovering compulsive overeater from Washington. I really like this topic. The thing that I thought of about being in a state of faith and as well as fear is when I'm in fear, I'm in kind of a state of aversion. I'm trying to get away from something, which is the opposite of craving. And so I'm often struggling between these two of craving, wanting something, and aversion, trying to get away from something. And it really blows up that experience of being in faith, which for me is mindfulness and being very present in this moment now and not trying to avoid it through food, overeating, overdoing anything for that matter. I could manifest this in many different ways. And I think it's important with practicing 11th step, kind of bringing that in, that that's kind of how I experience this. And when I read the word God, that's what that is for me, is faith. I often replace that with faith. I practice more of a Buddhist approach to this whole thing. Anyway, I just wanted to not be a lurker and talk. I'm also trying to find a sponsor, so I'm not sure how to do that. If somebody could reach out to me at some point, and I don't know how even that works. Thanks, and I hope everybody has a great day.
Oh, thank you, Laura H., and you can stay on the line. The last 10 minutes, we will have available sponsors giving out their name and phone number once we stop the recording, so don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. And that was Laura H. in Washington. Next up, we have Julie P. From Minnesota.
Good morning, and thank you, everyone, for your service and your shares. As I am a compulsive overeater from Minnesota, currently wintering in Texas. And I was, as everyone was sharing, I was sitting here thinking to myself that, you know, for the first 58 years of my life, I didn't think I was fearful. I could do anything. Woman, strong, hear me roar. And it wasn't until I found this program that I learned absolutely how fearful I am. And after working these steps, I came to realize through the grace of my higher power that fear is an amazing persuader. And I am living in total gratitude today because I realized that fear was keeping me from retiring. I started work when I was 13, and I have fended for myself my entire life. And all of a sudden, I realized that I was not willing nor able to allow myself to rely on my husband for retirement. And once I was able to actually see what was going on inside of me, I gave my notice for retirement, relying on my higher power that everything will be okay, not relying on myself anymore. And I'm happy to say that I retired the end of December. I am out walking my dog in Texas instead of 15 feet of snow in Minnesota. And all I have to do is suit up and show up and not wear red. When I put my red on in the morning, that means I'm my power. I need to put the red away and rely on my higher power and deal with my fears, because he's got a much better plan than I do. Thank you for allowing me to share, and with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Julie P. from Minnesota. It looks like we have time to take one or two more shares. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Joanne L.
I've got Joanne L. And you know what, Joanne, we'll probably just stick with you because you're right at the cusp. So, Joanne, why don't you go ahead? You've got 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Thank you so very much, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island. And I love this paragraph. I love talking about fear. But I just want to say where I was. I used to have so much fear around my whole life. And when I did the Big Book Step Study process, one of the things I had to do was when we listed what fears that we had to say, you know, what would you have done instead? And the answer is we should have trusted and relied on God and for every fear that we had. And it was the same way, you know, like when I listed like my resentments and when I did my step four inventory, everything was bracketed by fear. And I didn't realize until I, you know, went through the steps that I had been living in so much fear. And so today I can honestly tell you, I step into it every now and then. I visit it. I go to the fair and I visit it. And then when I'm there, I go, what are you fearing, Joanne? Why are you fearing? What's happening? What's going on? I know I can like step back and I can say, okay, all right. You know, this is, you're just here just to visit it, but you can get out of it. There's no doubt. And so, the thing I think about fear for me today, one of the biggest things, is that word, F-E-A-R, fear, false evidence appearing real. And when you think about it, like sometimes, like I'll say, oh, like I'll think of a friend and I'll say, oh, yeah, you know, she's thinking this or she's thinking that, or, and I'll make up this big story in my head. Same thing with my family. It could be one of my sisters. And I'll carry it on in my head and I'll go on and on. But then I realize after I, you know, get to the situation, after I speak to them, I say, Joanne, it was nothing like you made it up to be. So that was the fear. The fear is that it's just false evidence appearing real. I make this big story up, and it's not even part of the story. So that I know that I also have to look at when I'm in fear. And the other word for fear is F-R-O-G. One of my friends said, Joanne, whenever you're living in the fear or you're stepping in the fear, remember what F-R-O-G means. That's frog. Fully rely on God. So that's just a couple of things. You know, I hope that some of you, you know, remember when you're in the fear. But you know what? You don't have to live there. And you can always make phone calls and you can always write it down and give it away and tell people. There's so many things that you can do just to get out of the fear. Most importantly, I go to God. I just love my higher power. I just love God. And he's gotten me through quite a few things. So this I know is true. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. What a great way to close out the meeting today, Joanne L. And Joanne L. is from Rhode Island. And we will now close the meeting today with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lois P., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in